Persia. Persia is, as you see, at the tail end of the website. This is pretty much near the end of Babylon begins with Persia, Cyrus the Great. And you're looking at on slide one is a map of Cyrus the Great's empire, his realm. And we'll go through these slideshows, through these slides if you don't mind. Slide number five, you put your cursor on in one of these slides, and the slideshow stops. A brief description will pop up. If the description's in your way, put your cursor on the other slide. And now you can view the one you wish. Take your cursor off the artifact or slide, and the slideshow will begin. There's also a fast forward button to the right and a fast reverse button to the left. And that will help you navigate if you need to speed things up to get to the better slides. Anyway, slide number five, you're seeing this beast, like a bull with the head of a god. And you can tell it's a god because look at the headdress. On the headdress, there are animal horns. The only one wearing animal horns in a headdress are the gods. And the only gods that wear the animal horns in their headdress are the direct descendants of King Anu, who is the king of their planet, which is a one-world order. So it is his sons and daughters who came down and colonized the earth. And these artifacts that you're looking at right here are images of them and what they did. They were here way before us. We were cavemen. And then all of a sudden, they show up. They get tired of working, setting up the colony. They need replacements. There are no replacements. They need to change jobs. That never happens. They're very tired of the work. They need workers. And so Homo erectus is modified and modified for 50,000 years it takes Homo erectus to become Homo sapien. That's a million years of evolution. It's called the missing link for those who follow the evolution. Lot two evolution, but all of a sudden a human evolves only to Neanderthal, and they can't find any bodies, any skeletons buried anywhere that would link that Neanderthal evolving into Homo sapien, because there aren't any. It happened overnight, a million years of evolution. And you're looking at the guys who did it, that is an image of the gods. They don't have a bull body. That's just showing you the bull. What's that? That's the sign of strength. They're showing you at the gate stands the gods, and they have the strength of the mighty bull, and look how big they are. So come on in the gate and don't mess with the gods. Hello, welcome. Okay, that's number five. Let's go to number six. That's the town we're in, the ancient city of Persepolis. These are the artifacts that have been standing, not buried, but above ground for all to see for 2,500 years. This is 500 BC. Now, if you're in the realm of Persia, if you're in Syria, Iraq, or Iran, you're looking at this stuff. And the kingdom of Cyrus, I already showed you, was pretty big. All right, so here on number 6, you're looking at Cyrus the Great's Air Force. That is a god in a flying, see the wings? A flying disc. Remove those wings, and you've got a disc with legs. And a man inside looks just like a man. We have the same image that God has. Now that's very strange. You ever think of an alien coming to Earth that looks like you? So here are the first ones that come to Earth look like that. And they fly around in things like that. And everybody sees them flying around because there's no city lights. Anything moving in that sky, they see it. So they make artifacts. And you're looking at these artifacts and you can tell carved in rock. Very plain for everybody to see, even up to this period in time. Carved in rock, flying saucer with a god in it. Okay? Or are we to believe which? The Christian view? The Islamic view? The Hebrew view. What are we doing here? So no one looks at it. No one thinks about it. It just walks right, drives by, walks by for 2,500 years. Nobody thought about it. Well, guess what? ISIS, which is a Islamist fundamentalist wacko group, if you don't mind my term, they blew all this up. Everything you see here no longer exists. The entire slideshow. And the next slideshow. And the next. No longer exists. Any of these artifacts. So it laid around for 2,500 years. Nobody paid attention to it until evil shows up and blows at this kingdom come. You want to pay attention now? Well, it's right here on this website. I don't know where else you're going to find anything that will tell you what this is that no longer exists as of recent days. That's not very good, is it, for primitive man? And I did say primitive man, didn't I? 7th century thinking. I did say that. So next, you're looking at, on number 7, another god in the shape of a lion. Sphinx, or whatever you want to call it. They're just telling you how powerful they are. This one, again, is a lion on number 8. Number 9, you're just simply looking at a Persian archer. Nothing. Just to let you know how advanced the civilization is. Look at this. It's on the wall and you got archers in every color. Look at that. It's magnificent. And we want to just blow that up to hell. Just blow it to hell. Next, you're seeing a stairway. As my description says, it's an audience hall. And look at the artifacts going up the stairs. All right, let's get to some good ones. This one's a little tough now. There's a Greek computer that was discovered underwater. They brought it up. They couldn't believe their eyes. They had to, of course, see through the crustaceans. And they see like 3 to 5, I think it was 5 levels of like a clock moving. And you could do all kinds of things with this handheld computer. Pretty amazing for God knows what year that thing came about. It's BC. Next, you're looking at simply a script written in cuneiform. That is the first language written on in Earth. That's it. That's where it began writing. Whoever could write that, that's how it began. So man just woke up from the cave and started writing. No, I don't think it happened that way. So here you're looking at a script that might have been written by a king, might have been written by a god. Depends on what year it was written. It's obviously not messy. It's well done. So you're talking about a well-trained scribe at a time, perhaps, when man could not read or write. That's very possible what we're looking at. Odds are it's probable. So you're looking at the first language. And by the way, the entire world, call it a world, a civilization, speaks one language, just one. And it's written just one way. And that goes for thousands of years. And then, all of a sudden, the tongue is changed, as the text in the five books of Moses, I think it's Genesis, the tongues are changed as someone builds a Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, of course, is a place to blast off and land. Now, somebody's building an airport, a spaceport, that's not allowed to have one. His name is Marduk. And if you go to Marduk's page and his son Nabu's page, you'll actually see the spaceports and everything I'm telling you about. There is much information here. You're at the tail end of it. There is much information here. You're not going to do it in 30 seconds. So if you're following along, we'll continue. That's all I'm going to show you about Persia. Don't need to. You're taking a look at an advanced city right there. And does it even exist today? Guarantee you the parts about the gods no longer exist since ISIS walked through. That's fundamental Islam. That's 7th century thinking that wants total control of your thinking. Excuse me, did I say that? Let's hit refresh and look at Cyrus the Great. He is a Nephilim, like everything on this I'm showing you. These are the heroes of old, men of renown, who have the DNA 50% from the gods and 50% from earthlings. And then as their generation goes down, it's either diluted because they don't marry their own kind, or they do marry their own kind, and these advantages of being bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and live longer, and have your own God as your protector, these advantages you'll lose unless you marry your sister, your half-sister, or your first cousin. The first 10 generations in the book of Moses did exactly that. The next 10 generations down to Abraham, including Abraham, did exactly that. They are keeping their DNA pure by marrying one of their own kind as close to their blood as possible. That's your sister. Now, that would be your official wife. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the one you're in love with, but if you want an heir, you're going to need your sister wife. And every Hebrew hero did that for 20 generations. down to Abraham. Alright, you're looking at a Nephilim right here, a product of the exact same thing. And this guy, this particular Nephilim, not only is he a giant with all the advantages, this guy's got wings on him. That doesn't mean that on his back is attached wings. Just like it didn't mean on that artifact I was showing you. Remove the wings. But the wings are telling you he's capable of flight. Is he a pilot? Like the gods? Is he a passenger? Like, say, Muhammad? Somehow, this guy, this giant, this semi-divine offspring of the gods, is even better, closer to the gods than the other Nephilim, because this one is brought inside their flying machines. You'd have to look at things like Pakal over in the Yucatan to find things like a Nephilim with wings. You could find it in the Olmecs. All these are under Ningazita. I'm not sure you're going to find it much. Kings with wings? Those are the gods. This one has no headdress like a god. He's a king, and he starts a dynasty in Persia. So you're looking at artifact, another artifact. This one, number two, it's got three different languages inscribed on it. Well, it is, that's called a Rosetta Stone. If you were in Egypt, that's a Rosetta Stone, which is how they learned to read Egyptian script, hieroglyphs. Here, there's three scripts, three languages, no Egyptian. We don't even have language till Enlil confuses your tongue, because Marduk's building a spaceport he's not authorized to build. Enlil runs things in this colony, not Marduk, and they fight like hell over it. Here's one of the kings that should be coming under Enlil, but yet he seems to have, he loves Babylon, he's welcomed into Babylon, it's the end of Babylon, it becomes part of his deal, and he's protected by a god, a personal god, making sure that everything he's told to do, he can accomplish. Have you got one of those? You got your own little air force that'll make sure you come to kingship, you become a owner of an empire, you have the entire thing under you, and you've learned how to rule it. Build it, rule it, do it all yourself without any help. And read text that you don't know how to write. So we'll keep moving. You're looking at two different artifacts there telling you the same thing. Another artifact, again, Cyrus with wings and an Egyptian-type headdress. I have no idea what that headdress is saying to me. I'm not versed in the Egyptian world, but I couldn't tell you what that even is up there. Here's a black and white of it to help get a better view. What is it? Some kind of hat that looks like a lampshade. Very strange. It's alien technology, I guarantee you that. Now, the wings obviously aren't attached. So here's a guy with alien technology, he's showing you something on his headdress, but it's not the animal horns of a god. But here's a king, a Nephilim with the wings of a god. Keep that in mind. This Nephilim is very, very special. So he starts his dynasty, and he finalizes the end of Babylon. Next artifact, number 5, no longer exists. We'll thank Islam for that, okay? And this stood in front of their face for 2,500 years. All of a sudden, the fundamentalist group ISIS decides you don't get to look at this anymore, and it's gone. You're looking at an actual biblical informed you that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and in the days after, when the sons of God came down to earth, had sex with the daughters of men, with the earthling girls, had offspring, and they became the heroes of old, men of renown. Does this giant sitting here in number 5 look like a hero of old, men of renown? Straight out of the Genesis. Straight out of it. It's, I believe, the 3rd page of the text. Everybody used to have the text, whatever religion you got. You had a text. And in that text, it tells you something about the giants. Nobody ever showed you the giants. I'm showing you not only a giant, but who he is. You can figure out for yourself what he's accomplished by just simply Googling it. And if you look above him, you're going to see a flying saucer with a god in it. So there's a small earthling. There's a giant Nephilim, twice the size of the earthling, and there's a flying god about 3 to 4 times the size of an earthling. And there are artifacts to show you the exact size. And you can see that, under a dad. Go to a dad's page and you will see exactly what I mean. By the king and giant king, Nephilim, hero of old, says the Bible. You'll see him, and next to him standing is a giant god, telling the king what to do. And that giant king, he's telling that earthling what to do. And in Mesopotamia, there was also a ziggurat to go with this king in that city. And that inside that pyramid ziggurat, you'll find the home of that particular alien god that's flying around. You'll find his home. And that's on every page that I have on my website. Nowhere else will you find this information all together presented to you in an organized way that you can, number one, view items, real artifacts you've never seen before. You can read real texts that you could never read before. These translations are all listed on the text where they come from. So I'm showing you right here 3 different races of humans on earth at the same time. There's the godlike humanoid. I'd say he's the most advanced. There's the Nephilim mixed breed humanoid. And he's definitely not like the others. And there's the earthling humanoid, whose women are just fine for that god flying up there, who maybe can't find a woman because they never brought any women for the gods that came down. There's only like three women that came down, and they're descendants of the king. So there's 900 of these flying aliens. 900. Only a few of them are descendants of the king with the crown of horns. You're looking at one of them there flying above this king. A god who has the authority over the other gods, and a god who may have authority over a particular domain, like Persia. That's this god's domain. That's this god's descendant, or this god's father's descendant, or this god's brother's descendant. You get the idea. That descendant is in the family of the gods who are the family of the king of their planet. Yeah, these are special heroes of old, men of renown. What other earthling type is walking on earth that's got DNA straight to the king of their planet? You're following me here. So you're seeing three types of humanoids just in that simple one artifact that no longer exists. Now are you following me? Thanks for sticking with me all the way here. Now, you're just seeing more artifacts as we go of the king. And of the king with others, of the king with the gods, of the king on a horse. These are actual artifacts. You'll see, here they are greeting each other. One of them looks like a god. So you got the god with some type of weapon in his left hand. He's got the crown of the gods, and he's holding the ring of authority with the king, a Nephilim offspring. That was so important, this exchange of authority from God to king, that they made that carved rock. Beautiful piece. Oops, here's a mistake. Destroyed the carving. I don't see those mistakes. Damn near machine made, one would say. So there again, you have three different species of earthlings standing and blurred on the left, the one on the horse in the middle, and the god handing that Nephilim authority on the right. And that's what these artifacts are trying to tell you. And they sat there for 2,500 years without anyone paying any attention to them, except radical Islam. Somebody give me a break here. I got mad about that, so I have organized this. I have put together something that you will never find anywhere else. All of these things, I'm quite sure, at least 95%, you have not seen. I don't care who you are. And the text and the translations, aren't they authentic if they come from Oxford? This is the great PhDs of Oxford reading cuneiform and giving this translation that really wasn't handed there for you. And so you're looking at artifacts new to you, texts new to you, a concept that's totally new to you. Hopefully your mind is still with me, because I want you to understand this artifact of Cyrus the Great, number 11, is an artifact of a scene so important in ancient history that gods felt it should be recorded for thousands of years viewing, until of course Islam, under its most radical face, blows it up, blows them all up, thousands of them. And for 2,500 years, you said nothing about this? Was it in your school? Was this taught to you? Did you ever hear of such a thing in history class as a Nephilim? Or an alien giant that came down and had sex with the daughters of man? Just quoting the text. Right? The text that's on page 1. Let us make man into our image and our likeness. Well, I'm showing you two different types of the human race that's got his image and his likeness. Could it be any plainer? No one tells you this, no one shows you this, and it's right in front of their faces in this location. 2,500 years unnoticed. Make me puke. So now you're seeing it, and it's noticed. Oops, it's destroyed. Not on my website, it isn't. So here you're looking at a good one. Number 12, number 13. That is an alien giant inside his flying saucer, protecting and making sure that his directions to that king are carried out. He's not happy with that king. That king's going to get all kinds of problems, and he's gone. Next. Because they go through kings like you go through Mondays. It's only Monday to them. They age, that giant right there in that flying saucer. If you go to my website and look at the Nibiru page, which is the name of their planet, you will see they age 1 year. Does their planet orbit the sun? It takes 3,600 years for our planet to equal one of their planet. So they orbit once, we orbit 3,600 years, approximately. They're immortal. These are the gods, the immortal gods who came down, had sex. You see what I'm saying? And there is the actual picture of a particular god in detail. Above his king, his Nephilim giant, semi-giant, not as giant as the gods. And it sits here on these wonderful artifacts. Look at the beauty in number 14. What are they telling you there? Okay, when you get to 15, you're talking about cuneiform writing. Either someone is the script writer for Cyrus, or Cyrus can write cuneiform. Which is it? And how did Cyrus learn to write cuneiform if he wrote that? And that is a compilation of some of his deeds. So wouldn't you like, if you're interested in Cyrus, wouldn't you like to read that text? Well, you can. It's right below. There's some more artifacts, examples of cuneiform writing of the time of Cyrus. Only one written language on earth at that time. You're looking at it. Only one place where you'll find Nephilim at that time. You're looking at them. Only one place you're going to find the gods with their houses at one time. And you're going to find them here. And what they're doing here, what they accomplished here, what they ended up doing with us and so on and so forth. Never will you find this anywhere else in detail like this and an actual picture of it right in front of your face. Let's go down. Cyrus the Great, Wikipedia, the Cylinder Text. That would be, didn't I just tell you that might be interesting? I didn't get to start or anything because I'm having trouble with the page. As you see, this isn't my normal coloring. So anyway, that's a good text. Next one, did you know that Cyrus is the guy who freed the Jews from Babylon's bondage? How long were they in Babylon? 500 years as slaves, being assassinated one after the other? The Jews will tell you all about it. And the prophet that put them there and the prophet that let them out. It's Cyrus. Cyrus lets them go. Cyrus, because he is that type of leader. Cyrus. He could conquer you and you still survive. Cyrus, who gives his Nephilim advantages to give to his earthlings that maybe you won't find in the other civilization or the other city-states. Maybe Cyrus is special here because he's got the wings. I can't really show you any other Mesopotamian king with wings. So there's a text there, the Cyrus Cylinder, and if you're interested in the decree for the return of the Jews, it's right there. And if you just want to see a regular text under Cyrus, contracts under the reign of Cyrus. So, I mean, it's all here. No, I'm not giving you every single one of them. I'm giving you what I can find. And in the way of slideshows, I'm giving you about, I don't know, 2,000? It's not every one, but it's a hell of a lot. And they're organized in place where they need to be. No one did that. No one will do that. It's a lot of work, as you can see. Darius 1, this is a very interesting. So let's hit the refresh button to restart the slideshow. Darius 1, you're seeing just, that's what he looks like, that's what he looks like, and then boom, number 4. I can't make mine stop, let's back it up and see if we can put your cursor on it and see if you can hold it. There we go. Number 4. What are you looking at? You're looking at an earthling standing behind a giant Nephilim king. His name is Darius. He's the son of Cyrus. He's got a thing going, doesn't he? A dynasty. And above him is a god flying around for Darius. Kind of runs in the family then, doesn't it? Like father, like son. And let's look at the next artifact. Darius is wonderful artifacts. Number 5. Here again, Darius gets a little shade. The earthlings don't. And above him, of course, is his protection. That is not only protection, that's his direction. It's not only his direction. It's how he came into being. It's a blood relative flying up there above him. Whoa, that does make a difference. Let's go next. And that sure isn't in your teachings, is it? Let's look at here at the number 6. There you go. Darius is out on the hunt, hunting the lions like the ancient kings did, showing you how powerful they are. The Nephilim. Go to Uruk, the city of Uruk. Look under Gilgamesh. He's got a lion in each hand held out straight. Take your arm out. Hold a bucket of water. How long can you hold it? Just straight out. I mean, to the side. Hold it out to the side with your fist, your palm downwards, and hold that buckle. You're going to find out that you just can't do that. Gilgamesh, the Nephilim King of Uruk, I strongly, strongly suggest you go to Uruk and look at Gilgamesh. Anyway, he can hold a lion in each hand with his arms stretched out. A lion, you know, like the beast that would eat you alive in a second, is nothing more than a cat to these guys. Oh, that can't be real. And he can't be flying, can he? And that king can't be a giant, can he? And everything I'm showing you can't be in existence, can it? And everything I'm saying can't be true, could it? So as we look at number 9, there's Darius the Great, not the Great. No, he's the son of the Great. And take a look there. Do you see two different types of humanoids that look exactly alike, that do exactly alike, that copy the same things, that eat the same things, and actually chase the same women? Who would have thought? These women are finally finding what? They got the big one. Maybe one they didn't want, but they got the big one. You want a big man? You got one. He's a god. And he's 4 times your size. And go ahead and have sex with him. So here we got the Nephilim, and you're looking at probably my favorite of all time, but number 12 is a black and white. It's showing you the same thing over and over and over, a giant Nephilim protected by a blood relative who happens to fly. Over here, oh God, artifact number 13. You are looking at King Darius the Giant with his foot on an earthling. He's on the left. This is a scene from history, recorded in time, so important that they would take the side of a mountain and carve such a thing. Now, surely this is a lie, right? This is propaganda. For some reason, ancient man needs propaganda from a flying alien. I would think that what you're looking at, the very beginning of artifacts and of man learning to read and write, and the Nephilim that were the heroes of old, that's what you're looking at straight out of the Bible. And above all those prisoners, see the earthling prisoners, a whole line of them. One of them's under the guy's foot. And above them, of course, is the Air Force that made sure he won that battle and came out without even a scratch and captured all these slaves. And he did so from town to town until the empire, it's the Persian Empire. These are the Persian kings. Anybody heard of Persia, you wouldn't be here if you hadn't. And you're looking at one of my favorite artifacts. There's also, I believe, 3 languages inscribed in the background of that thing, on the side of a mountain. Little difficult to get up there and see. Well, and there's some kind of article about it. Here's a little blow up of that. Number 14, you've got Darius. You've got the captives. You've got his his grand uncle or something flying above him taking care of him. I'm going to tell you his name is Asher. He's the son of Marduk, who started Babylon. And his son is starting Persia. That's what I'm telling you. And here's the proof. If that's actually Asher up there. I believe the name was Ahuru Mazda. I believe is the name given to this god. Well, there's no Ahuru Mazda. That's just simply another spoken language from another civilization that calls this guy that by that name. But if you went to Yurik, his name might be Asher. Okay. In the background, you see all that text written? Who could write that? And who could write it there? And what does it say? Good God, why should we ignore that artifact for 2,500 years? Why should that never be in our history book? Why does ISIS, the Islamist purists, why did they destroy that artifact you're looking at? Blew up the entire side of the mountain. And there are several of these they blew up on the side of a mountain. You see that artifact? It's the whole story. You've got three different species of the human race. One is very advanced, one is semi-advanced, and one is primitive. And I say to you that Islam is as primitive as these people right here. 7th century thinking. When obviously our history is not about 7th century thinking, is it? Somebody's been lied to, like all of us. You're not the only one. I'm not too happy about it, as you can tell. I put this together. I made these recordings. I've got 24 years here trying to make it available for free to you so that you see what you've never seen before because you're interested in knowledge. If you want faith, get off the website. There's no faith here. It's only the knowledge you don't want to know or they don't want you to know. So get off if you don't want to know. Stay away from this website. It is definitely not for those who don't want to know. Close your eyes. Have a nice life. Next is number 15. You got the same thing. A Nephilim. Same Nephilim, Darius, and the same giant alien god flying around protecting him, giving him directions. You've got the pyramid where they live. It's called the Ziggurat Step Pyramid. It's all through the Tigris and Euphrates. They were the first houses ever built. We call them temples because they're gigantic. And inside that temple, obviously, right, lives God. It's his temple. It's his house. And in that house, there will be a responsibility for that alien God to do on the mission that they came down to do here on planet Earth. They still got a mission, and other than them doing the work of that mission now, they've got these workers, these other races of humans that never existed. There was no Nephilim, and there were no Earthlings. there was Homo erectus. And if you want to know how Homo erectus turned to that slave right there, you should go to Anki's page or Nin Herzog's page. You'll see how they developed, not created, modern man. And you'll understand why science is telling us these days that Earthlings have this DNA section in our double helix strand that isn't from this world. It's not found on Earth. And that's the very important section of our DNA that makes you a modern man. Very odd. So science calls this intelligent design, that these people over here on number 14 exist, the little people exist, because somebody like that God up in the air had intelligent design and designed that Earthling. And when that Earthling produced women, and the women became more modern and the hairs removed and all, might even have makeup. When these women started looking good, these giant aliens came down and had sex with them. And in having sex with them, they produced this semi-giant that they appointed to positions of responsibility over that little Earthling. Now the God doesn't even have to go direct to the Earthling, and the God doesn't have to do any work. Look at all the workers. And look at the guy who's got to do the job of managing all these workers under the God's rule, his directions. So that's the purpose of the king, and you're looking at the demigod kings. The other side of this coin, take a look, is the religious side. Somebody's got to be the high priest. Because they have all these Nephilim, too many, they create another position of authority. In the beginning, the king was both high priest and king. But later, you've got two different Nephilim. One is the high priest who lives inside that ziggurat with the god. Or he's leaving at night and coming back in the morning. He is the butler to the god, his wife, and their family that lives inside that mountain, that mud brick built gigantic pyramid. Not huge block built pyramid in Egypt. A little mud brick the size of your foot built those huge mountains that they live in, and all the city that's below that mountain that the Earthlings live in. So somehow Homo erectus, caveman, has got a city to live in, and he's got a leader to show him how to be civilized and obey the God. You know, so you got one telling you the laws of the God and one telling you how to obey religiously and praise and honor and have the ceremonies and feasts in honor of the God. Right? Don't you do that like every week? So here's how it all began. You're looking at it. Nobody wants you to know. Very interesting artifacts here under Darius. It kind of tells the whole story. Next one is more like a black and white, number 16, telling you the whole story. Three different types of humanoids, all looking alike, all come from, they were all created, not created, fashioned by a far advanced Earthling look-alike called God. That is how the word God began, right here, right there with that image. Otherwise, there's no such thing as God. Follow me? There's no such thing as language, because you're still evolving from ape man. There's a million years of evolution that you skipped. A million years. And how did it happen? DNA modification of Homo erectus into the little earthling, had sex, produced the semi-giant who led the little earthling by the nose according to the giant god's wishes. Do you have any high priests? Ever known of any? Does any of these religions have high priests? The entire concept is right in front of your face. It was created. That position simply created as a go-between. Between the alien god flying up there and you other two races down here. That king, that Nephilim, is the go-between. The god doesn't have to deal with the earthling. He's got a relative that should be loyal to him that's going to deal with that earthling. And if he's not loyal, and maybe loyal to another god, he won't live long. And there are other gods, as I have showed you on my webpage. I'm showing you the most important ones that are blood related to their king, their one world order government, has descended upon the earth and given us government and civilization and one hell of an advancement. We should be rejoicing this. They didn't hurt us. They did fashion you to be workers. Aren't you working today? Did you work ever? I bet earthlings have worked ever since they were fashioned. One immediately, I think his name was Cain, was put to work in the farm. The other immediately, I think his name was Abel, was put to work tending the flocks of sheep, their favorite meal, sheep. Always a lamb being offered to the gods. You're talking about barbecue dinner. Sheep weren't even on this planet. They brought it because they like it. Cattle was here. They also like cattle. They eat beef. They eat lamb. Just like you. Only they eat a hell of a lot more than you. Go to Ur. Go to the city Ur. And you'll see the Nephilim kings from Ur and so forth. But what you'll see is the god of Ur, you know, the one flying around the disk in Ur. You'll see he's got a million cows in Ur. There's a text. A million cows, they take inventory. These people, these gods, know what they're doing. They're a little more advanced than you are. I guarantee you they can see you, they can hear you, they know what you're doing. And always have. Obviously. And they got the communications, and they got all the technology we wish we had, that we're fighting each other to have, that we race each other to the North Pole to have, the South Pole to have, that the archaeologists raced into the Garden of Eden to find these cities so they could have, the Nazis looking for anything like the Ark of the Covenant or Solomon's Ring so that they could have. Well, are these people foolish? And you mean there is no Solomon's Ring that they tell you about? There's no jinn? Anybody heard that word, jinn? None of these things exist. Well, I'm showing you exactly what exists. and where it came from, who did it, and who they handed authority to, and what was written. Good God! It's all here. I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly enjoy it. Oh, there's Xerxes. There's others. You look at these artifacts. You look at the ones on the side of the mountain or the cliff or whatever you want to call it. Every one on this page, every artifact I am showing you no longer exists. Would you ever learn about these things if you hadn't come here? Who would show you these things besides me? I hope you enjoyed it. There's more here than you can ever imagine, so it's up to you. If you don't belong here, please leave. No offense, none for you intended. Please don't intend any for me. There's no offense here. I'm telling you what's sitting right there. See it? That's all I can do. I show and I tell. There's one hell of a show and tell like you ain't ever seen. And I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for coming. I really appreciate it. Please continue to look at these artifacts here on Persia. They'll blow your mind. And it's all the same thing over and over and over until the bloodline is diluted so bad there are no Nephilim. So there were Nephilim before the flood, Nephilim after the flood, and now there's no Nephilim. But yet, by the way, King George of England married his first cousin Diana to produce his heir, William. Just saying. Same custom the Jews did. Same custom, all the way back, preserving the DNA in the bloodlines that gives them advantages. Wouldn't you? Look at the advantages. My God. And to talk and walk with God? Wouldn't you? Thanks again. Please keep looking. If you're interested in knowledge, please leave. If you are not, you won't hurt my feelings. I hope I didn't hurt yours. All right, that's it.